Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
I've got good news for you, and there's good news. It's good news. It's not controlled by people or the circumstances in which we live. As a matter of fact, this good news comes from above with the authority of heaven for our earthly living. This kind of good news speaks to us and our circumstances of our life in such a way that we may be God's change agents through the good news to our troubled world. Traveling with God means to travel with troubles. And when we travel with God through the troubles, it means we are not controlled by the troubles, but we are affected by them. We are influenced from them, but we have a power beyond us to speak to the heart of the troubles so that God's promise, God's good news, can break through. So my question is, are you a good news person? Are you a good news person on the weekend of Halloween, in which we poke fun at the bully death by dressing up in weird ways? In the origin of this day, it's actually called All Hallowed Eve, the eve before All Saints Day, which is today, November 1, in which we can remember the great ones who've gone before us and be inspired by their life example in such a way that God has a power of resurrection over death, eternity over the temporal moment. God has good news. God has good news on election week. God has good news for each of us in local and state and national elections. God has the word for the good news in the life of the church to speak in the midst of an anxious era, what it means to be less anxious. Because the one who not only who made us, but came as on a Messiah mission into the world for troubled times just like these, so that all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which is every one of us, has good news. There is a way out of today and for all eternity that we can speak in such a way to this election week to say there is a future, whatever the outcome of the vote is. And that we are to be a part of God's people to give shape to a right outcome beyond the vote. And that's our call that we will have a time of prayer later in our service today. We've all had to change our travel plans, haven't we? We've canceled trips abroad or in the nation. We've been affected in our business travel, personal travel. We've been adjusting our schedules and how we get around. But I trust that you've been traveling with God. That you have been traveling with God in your life each and every day in the midst of the different day of your traveling itinerary. And in the troubled times of today, I trust that you haven't put God on hold, waiting until the times get easy, in order to pick God up and let him guide you through your daily schedule. Because he's actually the North Star, the compass. He is the lodestar for your life to see you through. Now that's where Paul shows us. He shows us how to live in our current troubles in light of his eternal promise. Live in the moment to fulfill God's purposes and address current troubles by trusting God for the outcome. Now, there it is. We live in the moment beyond ourselves because God has a purpose wanting to break through your life and my life and our life together. And we can get there by having our current troubles being addressed by God's promised outcome to be at work in our lives. Now, Kermit the Frog has been a bit overwhelmed. And so, on the eve of this change in our daylight savings times, he says, I'm not turning back my clock on Sunday. The last thing I want is one more hour in 2020. We can all get a feel for what that's like. And yet, here we are. And in the midst of that, we can feel a sense of ease and the dis-ease of what's going on around us. Again, Gene Cuny, a member of our church for many years, lived to be 98 years old. We gathered yesterday on this All Hallowed Eve in light of her resurrection service, her funeral service, remembering when she was 90 years old, she was tubing her way down the Guadalupe River. Gene never waited for times to get better in order to live life. She lived life in the midst of whatever the troubles were in her life. And there were a lot of troubles. If you live 98 years, you're going to have them, particularly if you're born in 1922, through the Depression, through major disappointments in a marriage, and all the trials and tribulations of being a leader in the military side of the government in the midst of war. And she was a steady force for us in the life of the church. Go tubing down the river and feel an ease of the current of God carrying you along the way. Now, it's not just in our power we do this. The last thing that today's message is about is it's going to all be okay. Don't worry about a thing. That phrase of it's just going to be okay isn't a promise from God. The promise of God is if you trust my promises and you allow my purposes to be at work through you, that I will make my promises to win, and that's what will make it okay. You see, that's different. That's living in our troubles with a mission. That's living in our troubles with a purpose. And then God's promises is it will be okay. We remember Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins in order that it can be okay for us to find grace and forgiveness, was resurrected from the grave once his death had been buried in the grave to rise and walk in a new life. Remember what Paul's going on for Paul? Here he is. About 30 years after Christ has been resurrected, he's been taking the gospel to the Roman Empire. He's been building the gospel bridges across people of different languages and backgrounds. And he took it back to the hometown of Jerusalem. He was obeying all the right customs, and yet he was falsely accused, wrongly arrested, unjustly tried. And now, after 2 years in a self-enforced prison by the governor of Israel, he's on his way to Rome. And see, that's good news, because that means he's going to be able to take the gospel to the heart of the Roman Empire. He'll be able to take the gospel where there are 1 million people live in the power city of Rome. That means he didn't ask for it to happen that way, but if that's how he was going to get to Rome, then he's going to go there. See, we're a lot of us in a part of our lives that we didn't ask for it to be this way, but here we are. And in the midst of being where we are, as we are, God can do his best work. And it's a troubled world. And so Paul was encouraged like the old hero of Joshua, who 4 times in his book, in Joshua, the 5th book of the Old Testament, says, be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you, and wherever you go, I will go. That is the promise of God. God doesn't skedaddle when the troubles arrive. God says, now it's going to get good. I want to show you what I can do through you and around you and beyond you. And the power of God in the midst of these troubles speaks a promise to us. When we're baptized, when seekers today, whether live streaming, Facebook Live, here in person, and you experience being in the water, the sign of the water is the sign of new life. It's a sign of grace and forgiveness. It's a sign as that we enter in the water that our past has been healed and made whole. All the good is to be celebrated, and all of the hurt is given as a wound into the hands of God to be made well. And in that promise, then, we are to rise and walk in a new life. Take courage. Let the call of baptism be your hope. Let the remembrance of your baptism give you courage, that nothing can take authority over your life greater than the authority of the confession that Jesus Christ is your Lord. Therefore, number 1 is take courage. God is with us. this Emmanuel statement that God is with us, God, that we enter into soon to the Advent Christmas season, is the promise always, take courage, God is with us. Now, the old character by Joshua that I quoted earlier had in his very next verse, Joshua 1:9, meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. Think about it, feel it. Imagine how you can live your life, Joshua was told, in light of the instructions of God, and then you will have the inspiration and information of what to do in your life. See, it's not just one and done, but it is one in a commitment by which then all can unfold by that promise. Take courage. And don't sink from a boatload of regret. Though we didn't have to be in this current crisis of America, neither did they have to be in the current crisis of Paul in a boat that was about to be shipwrecked. But we are now in this situation together. And it is by being together and claiming a togetherness by a love that will not let go that we then can find our way forward in light of a promise of God. Our two national mottos, in God we trust, and one out of many, e pluribus unum. It is this sense of working its way within our life. In Acts 27, we have the sense of the awareness that when Paul said in Acts 27, 21 and 22, it's one of the most famous cases of, I told you so. You know, he had warned them by saying, I told you that we needed to stay in the winter harbor where we were off the shore of Crete. You wanted to go on. I warned you. And sure enough, this is where we are. We're in a lot of trouble. We're in the middle of a typhoon. And nobody knows if the boat's going to make it or if we're going to live. But God has given me an assurance, is what he said. And therefore, he said, I'm telling you, keep your courage. See, courage is a choice. Courage is a choice that we can choose to let the presence of God steady us and give us a bravery beyond our own natural bravery so that we truly can be courageous in light of these times in which we live. May it be said of us that we were not cowards. May it be said of us that we found our true self by the courage stirring inside of us that God has made possible. To keep your courage is a choice that you choose in light of God. And then he gave a promise, because not one of you will die. The ship will be destroyed. The grain that would need to get to Rome to see for Caesar to be able to feed the people of Rome, that's going to have to be thrown away as cargo. All the other precious metals will undergo the sea, but you will be alive. But remember this truth when you take courage. God can assure an outcome if we will trust him in the midst of the troubles. You see, if Paul or the others had simply said, well, God's got this, I don't have to do anything, then everybody would have perished in the midst of the Mediterranean Sea. But it was an assurance of God that if we will do our part, like they had to do their part, then God would do what only God can do, as we do what only we can do. See, God claims and calls out our participation in order for his best to be realized. Now, he can do a lot of things without our doing anything. I mean, God is God. But he has chosen in the midst of a free will from heaven to earth to require participations on certain parts of his promises coming through. JB, Jim's grandson and Quincy's nephew, is now a senior at West Point. He now has a senior ring that he's holding up. When JB was in the eighth grade, he was given the opportunity to interview to go to a prestigious high school in this region. He really didn't know if he could qualify. And so he and his dad, Steve, along with Gloria, then asked if Vicki and I would do a mock interview with him. And so we met up in my study and we grilled him with the questions he needed to be prepared for. And then I asked JB, I said, JB, what is your greatest fear? And his greatest fear was that I won't be good enough. You know what that feels like? The fear that you won't be good enough as a parent, good enough as a business person, good enough as a leader, good enough as a partner, good enough as a family member in the times in which we're living, good enough to look in the mirror and see yourself face to face. We all have the fear of, will I be good enough? But what J.B. did, he took that fear, having named the fear, he gave it to God, and his preparations, he went through the examinations, the qualifying requirements, passed them, and became a stellar student in that prestigious school that then led on to West Point and the tough requirements that now have him as a senior. But what if he would have said, I don't know if I'm good enough, and therefore I'm not even going to try? We can say in times like this, this is just too tough for me. I don't think I can do this. Well, you can't do it alone. But you can do it with God, and we can do it together. We are in the ship together. And we are Trinity Baptist Church, helping a hurting world find the way with God to get through the troubled times, not to go, boy, glad that's over, but to come closer to God along the way and fulfill more of his purposes as we go forward. Take courage. Two is see hope. To be able to see hope is see your current problems in light of God's possibilities. Pay attention to how God wants to guide you forward. Now, there's a key verse here. Paul was given an assurance. The Lord said, I have promised you that I would be with you. I have given you a purpose that you're to take the gospel, the good news of my love that will win in the end for all who trust in this love, that you're to take that to Rome. And the troubles on this voyage, if you'll trust me, will only help to tell the story of my greatness being at work through you. He saw the hope. He paid attention to how God was going to see him forward. There was a time, though, that Paul needed to say to the captain of the ship, the steersman of the ship, Julius, who was the centurion in charge of making decisions with the ship that affected 276 passengers on the ship, many of whom were prisoners like Paul, that he needed to say to them, hey, you really ought to pay attention and not do this in order to do that. He partnered in making those decisions, like the photo of being in the Mediterranean Sea and seeing what was there. Now, this is where he said, this is where we really should have spent our winter, safe in this land harbor, instead of being greedy to get a few more miles on the way to Rome through a troubling winter season. But he saw God's hope, even when a bad decision be made, because God's purposes will find a way to win if we can trust the pathway to unfold. He said, last night, Paul was saying, to now having the attention of everyone, about 10 days and the 14 days of this typhoon of a storm in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, he said, last night, an angel of the Lord came to me, this God whom I serve. And he was hearing many different accents on board the ship, many different backgrounds that were represented by the various people on the ship. Now, this God whom I serve is with us. And he can be your God too. Therefore, do not be afraid, Paul. The messenger said, do not be afraid, Paul, because you are to stand trial before Caesar in Rome, and you can make your journey. So keep your courage. That's what Paul said back to them. Again, not being redundant, but to emphasize for us, his mission to Rome wasn't to be on vacation. His mission in Rome wasn't to be done with the troubles. His mission to Rome was to look Caesar eyeball to eyeball and to say, who do you think you are? Let me tell you about the real Lord, Jesus Christos y Kyrios, Jesus Christ is Lord, and that's the real hope for the Roman Empire. Paul, on that trip to Rome, would be released only to be captured once again, and would be executed later on. But he made his way to Rome, he gave his statement, and he's telling everybody aboard the ship, now keep your courage, in Acts 27, 23 through 25. That's a choice. I trust that you're making that choice. You're yielding your heart, relaxing your mind in the midst of God's great promises. After seeing the hope, then act with purpose. Act purposefully. Act with a purpose that is generating through your life. That this kind of purpose with the courage enables you to do what needs to be done as it should be done, when it should be done. This is a life under God's disciplined control. This is a life that has been shaped and formed and fashioned for such a challenge. And wherever the church in America is not holding up to the challenge of her times, it means that we have not been faithful to prepare ourselves for the hardest of times because we were at ease in Zion. But let me tell you, families, let me tell you in your business, let me tell you, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church, let me say to each of us, it's not too late for us to be ready for what needs to be done as we go forward if we will take courage in the presence of God. Now, I want to tell you, I am proud of you. I am proud of the Trinity family. I'm proud of our setting sail in the midst of the season of COVID-19, troubled politics of which we are in, and all the ramifications for your economy and our personal finances that have hit us, and the adaptations that you've made as a student, that you've made in your personal life, in your business life, and certainly how you've helped us to make radical change in the life of our church to meet the challenge of our times. I want you to hear that I am proud of you. But we're not done yet. There is more to come. But what is to come before us is not bigger than God. It's merely the preparation of this current season to be all the more ready for what is ahead of us. One of the greatest athletes of the 20th century was Jesse Owens. Many of you know the story. In 1936, when Hitler was on the rise, not only in Germany, but with plans to capture all of Europe and other lands of the world, and that his doctrine of hate, his doctrine of white supremacy seeking to take control, the Olympics were held in Berlin. And Jesse Owens would end up winning 4 gold medals in sprints and the 100 and 200 meters and the long jump and a relay race. And there he is with the German athlete behind him doing a Heil Hitler sign. And Jesse Owens, who is discriminated against in America, would be discriminated upon his return to America, but helped to make us a better nation by how he held us accountable as the United States to treat everyone with equal respect and dignity in the midst of troubled times. And he could look a Hitler eye to eye and to say, you think the Aryan race is going to control the world? Well, let me show you what I can do. And what he did was set records. He had prepared himself, but in the midst of an intimidating force, he was not intimidated. It released his very best. And so Paul would say, nevertheless, we must run aground with this ship. You didn't pay attention to what I said earlier. The ship is going to be lost, but you can live. You can make it through. And so the guards, once it was all unfolding and the 14 days of the storm were coming to an end and they were about to come to the shoreline of a small island, the guards, knowing that they were responsible for all the prisoners, were going to kill each and every one of them. It was accepted practice of the day that Roman soldiers could kill the prisoners if they thought the prisoners were going to escape. But Julius, the centurion responsible for all of them, said, don't do that. His reason was he liked Paul, respected Paul, and he knew there was something about Paul that was essential for all of them to make it safe. You and your life are no more important than anyone else. I'm certainly not. But God can work in your life by which other people will see you and give hope to others and help others to win in life because they see that promise in you. That's what's happening to Paul. If Paul had not been on the boat, all the prisoners would have been killed. But in his faith and in his integrity, it set an example by which then Julius would make a decision that in itself was courageous. And so some who knew how to swim, swam ashore. Others held on to what wood planks they could and floated to shore. And not one of them, not one of the 276 perished. In Jesus' Messiah mission, he came so that everyone can know this love of God that enables us to win. In the image of the life of the church, it's the image of our being on a voyage through life. There are many early Christians who would choose to call the middle of the sanctuary the nave of the church after the part of a boat. And that in the waves that can knock us around, that the heart of the ship can help everyone keep balance in the troubled waters of life. It was a built-in image of the early church. It's an image that's helpful for us today. This story that Rachel read for us is one of the most read and respected stories outside of biblical literature about a journey of a boat making it in troubled times and overcoming a shipwreck. It's just incredible precision. And it's looked to as a historical source to understand how the naval vessels would work in their day. You know, there were two people aboard that ship that didn't have to be there. One was Luke, who was a physician, who went aboard the ship as a friend of Paul to identify with Paul, to be with him on his journey to Caesar. He went probably as the ship doctor. His life was at stake. Aristarchus, another who came to faith in Christ in another part of this Roman Empire, also chose to be a part of the ship as an encouragement and attendant along with Paul. He didn't have to be there, but there they were. Because there was something larger at work and they had their part to play. As we move into this invitation time, I'm again grateful to my brother and friend and colleague, C-Mac, who posted on social media a major quote that I've been saying through this season and said again last Sunday and will lead us into part of our prayer time today. And that is, in the midst of a divided culture, we don't have to be divisive. In the midst of a diverse nation, we don't have to be divided. If we are, we are only mimicking culture. But we can choose to run the counter-revolution of helping to transform the divisions that experience as human beings in the light of our nation at this time by showing the bridge of Jesus Christ into people's hearts and how we relate to each other. The golden rule. People will know you're my disciples by how you love one another. By enacting this truth, then others will see that it really is true.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.